This is Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. I am Hunter Rankin, Sagamore Farm, joined again by Brian Tracy, Sagamore Spirit. Welcome, Brian. That was the amazing Arrogate this weekend at the Dubai World Cup. What did you think about the race?
A for awesome. Good to be here, Hunter.
Last call, that was the last racing call for Terry Spargo, who I believe is the best announcer in the world. He's an Australian guy, calls all the races in Dubai, and he got to call maybe the greatest horse that I've seen since Secretariat, the Big A Arrogate in Dubai this weekend.
Great way to go out. Great way to go out.
Unbelievable. So that was big, and that this show is even bigger.
Huge.
I mean, we're talking.
Could be the best show yet.
I think we have two, maybe three guests.
At least.
Who's our first guest?
There's a lot of directions we can go. Do you want to do this?
Well,
should we make the announcement?
I think we should make the announcement.
Let's do it. So today we're going to announce the winner of the naming contest. Let's call her. Do you think she'll take our call?
Should we call her?
I think it'd be great.
Do we have her number?
We do. Let me read that out over the air.
843. I'm just kidding. should we announce the name that won? She doesn't know why we're calling her, I don't think.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. The name, drum roll please, Johnny, you're going to have to add in some drum roll effect here. The name that has been chosen, there it is. Master Distiller.
Master Distiller.
That is a lot to live up to.
Yeah, it really is a lot to live up to. But I don't know. That name won by a landslide, I think, right?
So yeah, easily. I think it got like 50% of the vote.
So it's a no-brainer.
Liz Kaufman is who we're calling right
now. Yep, great.
She's at work.
Do we know anything about her?
Nope.
Nothing. This is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
And what is she winning?
Johnny, you can go ahead and call her. She's winning
your car?
Tour of the farm.
Tour of the farm.
My car. And a ride around on the distillery, on Master Distiller, the horse.
Hi, Liz Kaufman here.
Liz Kaufman, this is Hunter Rankin and Brian Tracy from Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. How are you doing?
Hi there, I'm well. How are you?
We're doing well. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about this name you submitted, Master Distiller.
Sure.
What do you think? Why did you do that? How did you come up with that?
Well, I lived for quite a while in Lexington, Kentucky, which is bourbon country.
Really?
And we had toured Woodford Reserve, and, you know, they have all the historical
Never heard of it.
Displays.
Horrible brand.
Well, but it's in our backyard, so we went to see it, and they had a lot of historical information about all the different master distillers, and it just stuck in my mind. I thought it was neat. And when you look at your horse's pedigree, circle of influence.
Yeah.
Who's got a bigger circle of influence? I mean, the master distiller is the connoisseur who guides the whole process.
You Killer! Know? I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it just jumped out at me.
So Liz, Brian's here with me. Brian Tracy. He runs Sagamore Spirit. You know, if you're familiar with our whiskey,
sure.
Our rye whiskey company. So he was.
Sure, absolutely.
He loved the name, and actually the name ran away with the vote.
Oh, cool.
So did you, do you listen to the podcast? That's the next question.
Well, I did yesterday after I got the email. I thought, I better check this out.
It's a no.
So,
that's a lie.
Well, how'd you learn about the contest? Tell us a little bit about that, and where do you live?
Well, currently I live in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, wow. Oh,
this is incredible.
Yeah, and
love Charleston. Love Charleston.
Yeah, it's such a foodie town, you know. And
do they have Sagamore Spirit there yet?
No, we're gonna work on that now.
Yeah, Liz needs it.
Well, you know what? I have a good friend who is a distributor for wine and champagne here in Charleston. You should talk to him.
Yeah,
well, we'll figure something out. He'll be our next call.
Absolutely.
His name is Chip McFeeters.
Chip.
And a wonderful guy. Yeah, we all went to a Colonial Cup steeplechase this past fall, which is a big, you know.
Is that in Camden or whatever? Camden, South Carolina?
Exactly.
Wow. Well, we'll have to call Chip.
How'd you learn about the competition? How'd you get, this is great. I love the fact that we have a reach.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. You know, it's been a few months. I think it was on the Pollock Report.
Pollock Report. There you go. It's a
Does
horse
that
racing.
Make sense?
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, yeah. It was. They probably picked up the press release or something.
I think so. I think that's where I heard about it.
Well, that's great. Well, we really appreciate it. You won, by the way.
Do you come to Baltimore ever?
Thank you so much.
Do you ever come to Baltimore? Because you've won a tour of Sagamore Farm. You've won a tour of the distillery.
Yeah, and you get to ride your horse of choice from the farm down to the distillery,
It's 17
through
miles.
Through the city. And we'd love to host you, but if you can't make it up here and you can't tour the distillery anytime soon, maybe we'll send you a gift.
You know what, Liz, and I will even personally put up the money to put you up in our hotel. Brian will split it with me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I actually have some Maryland roots.
Walk us through that.
It gets better.
Yeah. My dad had a house in Fenwick Island, and my grandparents were originally from Maryland, you know, Chesapeake Bay area.
Beautiful.
And I used to spend my summers up in the Chesapeake Bay, so... I actually
time to come home. Time to come home, Liz.
Yeah. And we've got one filly, a 2-year-old filly in training, and it sure would be fun to win the black-eyed Susan, you know, the Oaks with her. So we'll see.
Absolutely, that'd be incredible. Yeah.
You
well,
got it.
Let's you know what we'll do is
to organize a trip.
Yep.
We've got your contact information. We're gonna reach out to you, get a trip scheduled for you and a few of your friends. And then,
absolutely love it.
And a disclaimer, you're being recorded.
You're
by
being,
the way.
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
So you know, you're
right
on
now.
The podcast
you're live.
Now. Live, which will go out a week later. And so maybe you'll actually listen to it a second time, which would be super exciting. We're still looking for a little bit of a following in Charleston.
Yeah, tell Chip, put up some signs around your house about the
there
podcast. And tell Chip that we're going to be in touch, okay?
I will. He'll die. That's so funny.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Liz, and we appreciate you coming on and being a good sport.
Yeah, thank you. Congratulations. Great name choice.
Yeah, great name.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to put Master Distiller in my stable mail and track his career. I hope he's a wonderful horse for you all.
Well, now he's going to be great. Now that he's got Charleston roots.
Well, you know what? Street Box, his daddy, is doing great. He just had the winner of the Sunland Derby, so he's got a horse on the Derby
trail.
I got
to tell you, Liz,
you
keep up. You keep up. We are proud of that. Not many people in Charleston, South Carolina are up on the horse racing. So.
That's incredible.
Actually, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised here.
Well, that's great.
There's a lot of interest in it here.
Great, great. So. Well, we appreciate it, Liz. Thank you so much. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Tickle to death. Thanks.
Congratulations.
So much.
Thank you.
See ya. Wow, Liz.
Liz.
Coming with the heat today.
Big time.
Wow, Chip. We got a new guy, Chip, that we got to talk to.
Yeah, that might fizzle out. But, you know, I can't guarantee that. We'll call Chip just to loop him in.
Yeah,
but champagne,
yeah.
I mean, we might be the champagne of whiskeys, but we'll figure something out. But, wow, she was full of life. She knew so much. It's incredible.
She knew about the Sunland Derby out at Sunland Park.
Unbelievable. And she's from the old line state. So
yeah, it's great.
It's exciting.
Time for her to come home.
Big time.
Get a bottle of whiskey. Hang out at the hotel.
Liz, if you're listening, you brought way more game than we expected. That
way
was fun.
More game.
Yeah. Great.
A lot of game.
Awesome. Master Distiller is the official name. It's in. It'll be fun to watch that horse's career.
Big show today, Brian.
Who's next?
My hero. The man that rode my favorite horse of all time. This is a thrill for me. Chris McCarron.
Wow.
He rode Ali Sheba. He rode Tis Now. He rode 9 Breeders' Cup winners. Breeders' Cup races. 5 Breeders' Cup Classic winners. Do we have Chris on right now? Can he hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great. Welcome to the show. Thanks for making time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
This is, I was just telling the people that listen. And by the way, you don't need to be nervous. There's nobody that actually listens to this thing. But I was just telling Brian, this is a thrill for me. I mean, and we got to play golf one time down in Florida, but Chris McCarron, I wanted to be him when I was a little kid, Brian.
That's unreal. That's great.
Well, I've got a picture of myself holding the Blood Horse cover when Ali Sheba won the Kentucky Derby in 1987. I've still got it.
That's incredible.
I remember you telling me that. That's pretty awesome, and thanks for the flattery. I appreciate it.
No, it's cool. It's cool. So, Chris, we talked about Arrogate at the head of the show, but to talk about that horse, what a racehorse.
Yep, I think he's the best horse I've seen since Secretariat. We've seen some awful nice ones. Affirm, Aladar, Spectacular Bid, Seattle Slough. I mean, the list can go on even further. John Henry, what he did on the track in his 7-year career, didn't retire till he was 9. But this horse is just absolutely beautiful running. You look at his stride. It's very efficient, no wasted action, and he looks like he'd run, from Belmont to Saratoga, for crying out loud, in record time.
Yeah, it's pretty special to watch, and the way he got off, too. I mean, talk about that as a jockey, the way he got off, and then what's Mike thinking, Mike Smith, the jockey, what's he thinking after the break and what he's got to do from there?
Well, Mike is riding as well as he's ever ridden in his whole career right now, and I guarantee you he wasn't as nervous as Baffert and the Judmont owners were, because Mike's sitting on a powerhouse. He knows what he's got, and what Mike did after the break is what most really talented, really successful jockeys do, and that was he didn't panic. He didn't panic. He got after the horse a little bit, mm-hmm. and he rode him like a lot of people will say, when you get left like that, well, don't rush the horse. Don't rush him at all. Just let him be there. But that's counterintuitive, actually. If he had broken well, Mike would have gotten after him a little bit like he's done in his past races, just to secure a position up close. And then once he got that position, just sit on him. And he rode him the exact same way. He got after him. Mike was explaining after the race that the horse was surprised at the break because he didn't have an assistant starter in there with him.
Right.
And, the horse was like, hey, okay, where's the guy supposed to be up by my head, And then he just got fooled, He just got left flat-footed. And right after that, the two horses on each side of him came together and squeezed the heck out of him, And so Mike just didn't panic and took his time. He did get after the colt a little bit to make sure that he was going to get into his normal stride. And then Mike just sat on him and they were talking on TV about how much ground he lost. He didn't really lose as much ground as they were. I think they exaggerated a little bit. He was really wide down the backstretch. But going into the far turn, Mike dropped him in a little bit, and he got through on a couple of horses, and he was only about 3 deep. And then as he came out, he had to go a little bit wide. But he was so much the best. It was just ridiculous. And he's the best horse I've seen since 1973.
That's amazing. A big statement. Great. Yeah. Chris, can you walk us through? You say he remains pretty calm and relaxed, which is, not easy to do. But you've been there. Your adrenaline's got to be pumping. How do you remain calm and relax when you're in that intense of a race?
One simple word. It's called focus. Focus on the task at hand, and
love it.
Just have the confidence in the horse, confidence in yourself, that you can overcome adversity. Gunrunner is a very, very nice horse. I wish I owned him, for crying out loud. I wish I was riding him. So I can't take anything away from him, and looks like Neolithic is going to be a nice colt as well. But the rest of them, it really wasn't a very strong field.
Right.
So, I would say probably, 95% of the horses in the field were at 99-1, for crying out loud. So that just exhibits the weakness in the rest of the talent in the field. Nonetheless, this horse still impressed the heck out of us, It was fun to watch, and when they were going down the backside, I was watching him closely, and I thought, well, he's gonna start picking him up, and sure enough, no sooner I thought that to myself, and here he comes. He started picking them up and laying them down. It just but focus is the main thing.
Yeah.
To answer your question,
I can't imagine. Like, for a guy who's never been there, I just, you know, focus when all these horses, you're moving that quick and there's so much going on around you.
And you're running for $10 million. I mean, you're running for $10 million.
Like, it's unreal. I mean, it's in your blood, obviously. You know, and so I think some of these things you either have or you don't have, but something, can you, Chris, like, walk me through? How do the jockeys train? That's what I'm curious about. Is it constantly riding? You got to be lifting weights. I mean, that's still very intense. Remain focused. You guys are athletes. How do you do it? What's the training like?
Well, Mike is unusual. Mike works out hard. He goes to the gym every day. Most jockeys don't really go to the gym all that much. We're in a very unique occupation that, you know, we're independent contractors, and we really don't have anybody telling us what to do except for when the trainer gives us instructions in the paddock. But the rest of the time, you know, we're just we're on our own. And the thing is, we don't have coaches. We don't have people, you know, telling us we got to be at the gym at such and such a time. You got to do this much workout. So it's really up to the individual. And Mike has taken that particular part of his job to the nth degree. He works out like a fiend. He's one of the strongest guys I've ever been around for his size, and but he's also got that real soft touch with his hands, which is why he gets along so well with fillies. You know, he's ridden the best fillies that we've seen in the last, you know, three decades, for crying out loud. He just has that knack. But it takes a lot of discipline. You know, you got to watch your diet. You got to make sure, while you're watching your diet, that you're getting the right nutrition to be in tip-top shape. It doesn't take, you know, brute strength and force is not the key to riding horses. The strength, when you talk about strength for jockeys, we're talking about stamina, someone who can do something for a long period of time and not get tired. And Mike really demonstrates that on a daily basis.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, you got discipline because nobody making you do it.
No.
So I mean, that's wild. Very interesting. How'd you get into the sport?
My brother Greg is 7 years my elder, and he started riding races in Boston at Suffolk Downs in 1969. I was a freshman in high school, and I went to school in the north end of Boston, and Suffolk is in East Boston. It's only three train stops away from my school. So I would get on the train. I'd get out of school about 3 o'clock, get on the train, go three stops, and climb the fence. I was only, I was about 13 at the time, 13, 14. And you had to, back then, you had to be 18 years of age in order to get into the track. So I would climb the fence. I'd sneak in. And watch the race. I'd be sitting on the turn at about the 7/8 pole, you know, all by myself, and just watching. I'd yell to Greg as he's galloping out after the race, "Hey, way to go, brother! You got another one."
That's awesome. That's great.
He did really well with the bug, and he set a record at Rockingham Park in the summer of either 69 or 70. I forget which year. I want to say it was 1970. Yeah. So he got me a job. I became very interested in what he was doing, and he got me a job working for a trainer named Odie Cleland, who was very well known for bringing out young riders. Odie, his most famous jockey that he taught how to ride was Eddie Arcaro. And so Greg and I were very fortunate to be able to get a job with Odie. So I walked horses at Rockingham in Salem, New Hampshire, between my junior and senior year in high school. That was 1971. And and I just fell in love with it. And so after that summer, I went back and graduated from high school in 72, and I went right to the racetrack, and I've been there ever since.
Let's talk about my favorite horse of all time, Chris, Ali Sheba. I mean, what kind of feeling does a horse like that give you when you're on top of him? I mean, he was one of the, you know, when he retired, he was the leading money earner of all time. And obviously with purses today, he's been passed. But what does that horse feel like when you're on top of him, and how cool was he just as an individual?
He was a great athlete and fantastic athlete, as you saw in the Kentucky Derby in 1987 when he stumbled up there at the head of the stretch, clipping heels with Bet Twice and stumbling. How he recovered was just incredible. Here's a horse. He wasn't a real big horse. He was about 16 hands, but he was kind of light framed. But considering the Derby is the first time they're carrying 126 pounds and it's the first time they're all going a mile and a quarter in their life, and for him to have run a mile up to the point where he clipped heels and stumbled, you know, he's supposed to be, you know, fatigue is supposed to start setting in at that point. And for him to, you know, go to his knees just about and be able to recover was an amazing athletic feat. And I was fortunate that, you know, that he didn't fall, because there were 17 other horses behind us. That would have been and every jockey in the race has their head buried in the horse's mane, just down driving, trying to, you know, going for all it's worth. And it would have been a nasty wreck had he fallen at that point. But he was just a tremendous athlete. But I tell you what, he was one mean dude, Hunter. He was, oh man, he was mean. he was kind to ride, you know. He was very kind to ride, but in the stall and in the barn, I tell you what, he would tear your, he'd rip your hand off when you're trying to pat him and stuff. when we got beat a nose in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Hollywood Park in 1987, Ferdinand, who won the Derby the year before, as you remember, beat us a nose. And I went back to the barn after the races, and he was tied up on the back wall, and the tie strap was right in the middle of the back wall. So he's, if you can picture it, he's standing perpendicular to the back wall. Well, I duck under the cross chain to go into his stall, and I'm patting him on the shoulder, saying, "That's all right, buddy. We'll get him next year. You ran great. We'll get him next year." And then, man, he tried to savage me. And he was in the first stall, and Jack was just a matter of 30 yards away in his office on the phone. And I'm yelling, "Jack, Jack." He had me in the corner, you know, when he reached around to try to bite my hand, bite my arm, I ducked back a little bit, and then he swung and he cow kicked and just missed me. So now he worked me over into the corner, and it's the most scared I've ever been in a horse's stall.
I can't imagine.
I thought he was gonna maul me, and I'm yelling, "Jack, Jack!" And so finally, I was able to get a hold of his halter, and I did something I wasn't happy about doing, but I had to punch him in the muzzle, you know, to get him away from me. And fortunately, he went. He
sounds
did
like
duck away from me.
Yeah, it was.
It very much was self-defense. But you know, what a wonderful thing he did for my life and my career, though, and my family. And I was very blessed to have ridden nice horses, and he certainly was one of them. When John Henry retired at 9 years of age in 1984, he was the leading money winner of all time at $6.5 million. And then Ali Sheba comes along 3 years later and wins 6.6 and change. And
amazing.
He had such a great following when he won the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill in 88, when he beat
Seeking the Gold.
Yeah. I'm jogging back towards the winner's circle, and it was, you remember, it was very dark. It was late, early evening, but it was late. It was dark. It was, you know, kind of rainy and stuff. And there was a group of people standing behind the winner's circle holding up this big banner that said, "Ali Sheba for president." So, he brought us a lot of joy. That's for sure.
Well, he was an amazing horse. Real quick, Chris, and then we'll let you go. But I know you've ridden against all the best, you know, Shoemaker and Lafitte Penkai and Mike Smith and Gary Stevens, and the list goes on. Jerry Bailey,
Eddie Delahousie, Sandy Hawley.
who's ranks right up there as the best you rode against, the toughest guy to read maybe on a horse? Who's the best rider out there that you faced when you were riding?
Oh wow, it's hard to answer, but you know, if someone put a gun to my head, I would have to say Shoe, because he was sneaky smart, and Shoemaker could do things on a horse that most people could not do, and he just got along with horses so well. All the other riders that you mentioned are, you know, right up there too. Yep. So it's basically who's on the best horse and you know, and who's at the top of his game. But you know, then you go to New York and you talk about Angel Cordero and Georgie Velasquez,
sure,
Braulio Baeza, those guys are all in the Hall of Fame. Jacinto Vasquez, you know, it's hard to separate them. You know, it's like who's a better golfer, Dustin Johnson or
Jordan Spieth,
or Jason Day or Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy? You know, they're so good and yep, they perform so well week after week that who's to say who's the best? And at the end of the day, it's, well, who's got the most money in the bank?
Yep.
And yep. But with the jockeys, I would say Shu, for as long as he rode and as many races as he won. He won 8,800 races, and he was, wow, just an amazing athlete. And for him to just survive, you know, when he was born, he only weighed 2.5 pounds, and the doctor, this is back in the 40s, the doctor basically, you know, said he won't make it through the night. Well, his grandmother wrapped him, he swaddled him in a blanket and put him in a shoebox, and opened up. She turned the gas oven on, and opened the door, and she laid him on the open door just to incubate him.
Wow.
And he shouldn't have lived. I mean, that's how tough he was, man. He was incredible.
That's amazing,
fighter.
Well, Chris, we really appreciate you joining us, man. And
love the stories. Those are great.
It's great.
It's unreal.
And we're going to get you back on, too. I want to get you on with Gary. Gary's going to come on soon, and I'd love to get you guys on together. But anyway, it's a pleasure and a real thrill for us, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, guys. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Chris McCarron. That is a thrill for me, Brian.
No, he's, man, the stories were phenomenal.
Oh, he's got a million of them.
It's interesting. You know, it seems like, I don't know if some of the better horses, like he was talking about, I know Native Dancer was like this. I mean, you get in the stall with them, and it can get ugly.
It's a competitive fire.
I mean, it's in their blood, but that's so cool. What a career. Really interesting. And, you know, those guys, independent, and it's up to them.
The hits just keep on coming. We got Jimmy Patsos coming up. Your guy.
Coach.
Coach. Hey, Coach. Your guy.
Coach of the Siena men's basketball.
Yep. Up in upstate New York, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just right outside Albany.
And they had a good season. Heartbreaking at the end of the, they lost in the conference championship game. But
he's always got them in it. I mean, always got them in it.
No, the guy's the man.
Great energy, fire. He's a competitor. He's
great,
passionate.
Great friend of Under
Loves
Armour.
The game. So, no, we're excited to have him on here. You want to
let's call him up.
Let's do this.
And by the way, he is in Vietnam, so we'll try to keep the technical difficulties out of the deal.
Yeah, and get ready. He brings
a lot of heat.
He brings some heat. Get ready, folks. Let's go ahead and do this.
Jimmy Patsos joins us from Vietnam, joins Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. He's actually over in Vietnam taking a call. It's like midnight over there.
This is unreal.
It's unreal. I got Brian Tracy here with me, Jimmy. I know you all have had some late night hot dog runs together. Anyway, just want to get right into it and to talk about.
Hey, look, Brian knows where the hot dogs stand outside the third edition in Georgetown. Yeah,
that's right.
True.
That's right.
But anyway, want to get right into the World Cup. Did you watch the race in Dubai this week, Jimmy?
I did not watch the race in Dubai, but I've been following it.
Yep.
It's funny. I live in Saratoga with my wife, and then her sister lives in Lexington, so her family's as much into horse racing more than I am. She knew all about it. She knew about the Dubai win.
Yep.
Arrogate clearly is. We saw him run up in Saratoga. Baffert brings him up with another horse. And then I liked Pegasus. I thought the Pegasus thing, like, let them all race. Remember, it's funny. Seattle Slough, Affirm, they used to race. Like 2 years later,
totally.
I kind of like those big races. What do you think about those big races?
I tell you, I think it's a great idea. And like you say, like come one, come all. Like let's get the best of the best together. Put up a big pot and let them have it.
Yeah, and it made something to watch. You know, in January we watched that. We thought Chrome was going to win, but this Arrogate's for real. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with horse racing over here in Vietnam. They just bought 100 horses. They're going to open a track outside Ho Chi Minh.
You got to be kidding.
So it looks like I'll be running. Yeah, I'm going to sell Sagamore Rye at the Sagamore Racetrack right outside Ho Chi Minh.
I love this guy.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. Do they have Sagamore Rye at the in Vietnam yet?
No.
No.
No, but we will work on it starting today. Billy Mack gets wind of this. He's there.
Billy Mack knows this place. Da Nang is like, it's like San Diego. You know, he went to Hanoi. Ho Chi Minh's last. Da Nang's like San Diego. So we've met a few of the people here that run some of the restaurants. So let's just say it'll be in the dive bar in Hoi An. That's the name of this place, the dive bar, where they take you, well, they take you scuba diving, right? The guy's actually a French guy, and he likes horses. We were talking about Longchamps and all this stuff, about racing over there. So we're ready to go. So the rye coming to Saratoga this year is my question. Are we having a thing in Saratoga?
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got wind from my connection up there in the Albany area. Saw some the retail stores up in that area, and Saratoga is 100% the focus this week.
Perfect. Well, we will be pumping it off through the July August race. By the way, congratulations, Hunter. I know you're sorry about the Lexington/Louisville two teams, but your alma mater, the Carolina Tar Heels, back in the Final Four.
Back in the Final Four. I got to tell you, it is bittersweet for me because you know how much I love the Cats, but. It's exciting for those guys down in Chapel Hill.
No, well, and I actually think they got a good, I think all of a sudden they played the toughest, you know, they had a tough route. They're at Kentucky, UCLA. Now all of a sudden they're in the driver's seat in the Final Four, plus they've got experience. The other guys are all new, but we like South Carolina, Under Armour brand.
Frank Protect
Martin,
this
Under
house.
Armour basketball.
Let's go, Coach Martin.
Protect this house. Go, Coach Martin. I had that on my CBX little thing I did there at Turner. We talked about him in Greenville.
I know. And by the way, you were looking good on TNT. I got to tell you.
You know, it was kind of fun. It's good. This guy, Casey Stern's a real pro, so he just kind of feeds you the questions. Your boy, Brendan Haywood, talk about a congratulations to a nicest North Carolina grad. Guy plays 10 years in the NBA, so I think actually 12, and had known he wants to go into TV. We're talking all about that. And then he was so happy when Seth Davis and the Duke guys lost. It was unbelievable. So it was, he's a good dude. This Brendan Haywood is like really prepared. He's well, he knows what he's doing. He is smart to get in that. And then his Tar Heel goes, our Terps were a little young, Brian. Our Terps were a little young.
Yep,
they'll be there next year.
Yep. No, we, it was a tough loss, but, next year. There's always next year. That's right. You know, I noticed when you're on TV, you guys have a huge stack of papers in front of you.
What is all that
I mean,
stuff?
You guys have so much going on.
Well, it's like the racing form. The more they give you, the worse the part of the bet comes. So I kind of was trying to, like, not read all these charts and forms. I was kind of doing my loose thing, but I was taking notes on, like, what they just go in segments. It's like, you know, it's like having 10 races at the track. You're on, like, 10 times for 2 minutes, you know? So you just got to know each one. I felt like I was... But it's not like the regular track where you can blow off the first races. It's kind of like being at the Breeders' Cup, where you kind of have to be on every race.
Every race.
And so that's what I did for 2 days. You know, I had like 7 or 8 segments. And then, you know, you just try to get a couple right, just like I'm going to try to get a couple right with my Derby prediction. By the way, I do have the exacta triple done this year's Derby.
You do. You do. Go ahead and give
it
to us.
You want to share that? No one's listening.
Empire,
so
it'll
be fine.
Well, they will be for this. Mastery got hurt, so I thought I got Classic Empire 1, McCracken 2, Ella Reed 3, and J-Boy's Echo 4.
Wow.
You can put them in any order because I like Dale Roman's
Dale.
Good guy. You know him, Hunter?
Yeah, I do. He's a good man.
he's one of the regular guys. We did a show up in Saratoga together. We were talking about all that.
Yeah.
And so
you guys, I imagine Echo. You guys got along pretty well.
Yes, we had pretty much the same nutritionist, so let's just say we were, you know. I said, oh, I know what, I probably know what you want here. He said, oh, you got to try these. I said, oh, those are good, too. And yeah. But he, and actually, he got a car accident last year when I was at the Derby with you, Hunter. Thank God he was all right.
I know.
But my friend was in the car with him. He got a car accident with his kids and all this. So we start talking regular stuff. Next thing I know, he's like, you playing hoops? And I'm like, we play Louisville next year. He's like, I'm coming again. We play next year at Louisville. He's just a really normal guy.
Yeah.
But his J-Boy's Echoes is he's one of those dark horse horses. He might be pretty good.
Real deal, yeah, real deal. And those people tend to come up with good horses, that Al Ball Family Stable.
Is that who they are? Yeah, they're good. And then I just, McCracken's kind of got your Churchill Downs. He's your hometown favorite.
Yeah, of course.
Ella Reeves doing pretty good. But this Classic Empire, I just kind of like him. He won a Breeders, by the way. He won the Breeders Juvenile. So you just kind of think, you know, those are my early horses going on. I mean, you're not going to know anything for another month, but it's exciting race, clearly. But I do think that it's like it's wild to see now that someone's done the Triple Crown for a guy like me that watches. You're in the business. I'm like an avid fan. I probably watch horse racing like people watch March Madness. I do that, especially with Saratoga. You can't help it for 6 weeks.
Right.
But you guys are in the business. And I thought the whole California Chrome thing was really good. I thought American Pharoah the next year was even like more exciting and to see him win it. So I'm kind of hoping the young people get more involved in horse racing.
We're doing our best with this podcast, but we can't get anybody to listen to it. Hey, do you think you could get Charles Barkley on the show for us?
You know what? He was the one guy. He was in New York, and I was here. Otherwise, I'd try.
That's
but I'll get your boy Brendan Haywood on the show after they win, or Seth Dave. You know, it's funny, and I really wanted to meet Ernie, but the A team was up in New York. We were down in Turn, and we were down in TBS land, you know, down in Atlanta. So I wish I had run into him. I've gone out with Barkley, very generous guy.
Is he?
But I think all they care about in the offseason is Auburn football. Yeah, no, nice guy, generous guy. We went and saw all the people when the BP oil still happened. We went to Florida and Alabama Gulf Coast.
Oh, yeah.
We went all the way around the coast. It was supposed to be a one-day tour. Some people got off. I was there 3 days later. Barkley's like, you have to get out of the car now. And he dropped me off the airport. But he was just a generous guy, giving all these people money, getting behind the bar with people, talking all kinds of things. We met Ken Stabler. Remember the Ken Snake Stabler?
Yeah, we met him.
So it was kind of a cool thing to do. But, you know, anyways, back to the horse racing in the Sagamore Rye, which the Preakness should be a huge event for you guys again. And
huge.
How is the Rye going, Brian? Where are we having? Are we three quarters of the country now?
We are covering some ground. I mean, we got the big distillery opening up here to the public April 21st.
Jimmy, you got to come see this thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, we'd love to have you guys down. And so, yeah, I mean, we are in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, D.C., Kentucky, Virginia, Florida, Utah. I mean, we are moving. We got Illinois and Texas in our crosshairs. Pennsylvania, we're all over the place.
Well, I mean, that's what you got to do. You just got to keep getting into the big cities. And then the brand, obviously, we like it. We have sampled several times, my wife and I. Plus, we love the design of the bottles, et cetera. So it's going to be a great marketable thing for you. But, you know, the Sagamore name and what you guys are doing in Baltimore, everybody's talking about that with the whole development of the waterfront, development of the whole, you know, Baltimore Inner Harbor and stuff. So you guys are becoming like a countrywide, you know, name. And I think the horse racing and the rye thing is a great mix.
Yeah, people need to next long weekend, get down to Baltimore. There is a ton of great stuff going on here. Come visit this great city and great state. I mean, there is a lot to see and do. And so, we've got a lot going on. We're looking forward to having you here soon, that's for sure.
Jimmy, you coming to Preakness? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I kind of just go month to month. I mean, I hope Frank invites me. I didn't know what the situation there was in terms of, when they have the party or the race and all that, but I love coming down for all that. I've gone to Derby the last 2 years, which has been great, and then I went to the Belmont like 3 years ago, so I've kind of hit the Triple Crown, but never all in 1 year.
Yeah.
But this week, you know, with the my focus on basketball, then Masters, and then horse racing, so, you know, I'm really interested to see. I think Carolina's in the driver's seat. Oregon's had a good run with their three guys, Jordan Bell and Dorsey and them. And it's just fun to see South Carolina and Gonzaga, two teams you never really see in it.
It's great.
And so it's going to be an interesting little thing. And we're really hoping that, you know, Frank Martin, right when he wins, instead of like champagne, he's going to put up the Sagamore Rye in his hand, you know, when he wins it all, which would be great for us.
We need to start working on that now. We got to work on that now, Brian.
I want to go. Coach, can we ask you a question? Can you walk me through, with all your fans listening today, the Phantom Handshake?
Yeah. Talk about that, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was one of those. Look, I know the guy, Kevin Baggett, from Rapid. He's a good guy. What happened was there was a little tiff in the game, you know, and then we won and they were upset. But he just, with like a few seconds left, I kind of had my head down. I had my head down walking up to shake hands, and they went out the other way. And they ended up going out the other way. And look, I just kind of went with it. I told my team, you know, when you lose a race, you win a race. You lose a golf match, you win one. You got to shake hands. And then it kind of blew up. Like, when I do silly things, I tend to do them on like Tuesday and Wednesday nights, which not good because there's not a lot of news, so it kind of makes it up. The next thing I know, I'm getting calls about Matt Lauer and them. I'm like, what? And so it was, you know, though, it was funny for the kids, but it was good because we were playing well. It's going to put us on a little trend to play well. We lost by 1 point to Iona.
I know. I watched it. It was a killer game, man.
You know, at least it was a good game. We had 7,000 fans. Siena's a great place. They got passionate fans, and it's funny. Sienna's passionate about basketball, and the other thing they love is racing. And I think about half of our fans love, you know, Rye as well. So because we're up here, but it was a good event for the city of Albany. We beat Monmouth, we beat Fairfield, and we just came up a little short against Iona. But everybody kind of ends. You know how it is. You end, you're going to lose, but at least we went to overtime, lost by a point, and it was a good game. And you know, thanks to the Under Armour basketball brand, we're all kind of trying to pull it together. Whether it's Notre Dame or whether it's Siena, and now it's South Carolina's turn, of course, and Wisconsin. Then we get UCLA coming on board next year. UCLA's coming on board.
Big time. Big time.
Really exciting stuff for them, you know. So that's going to give me and Hunter and Brian, we're going to have a little trip out to see UCLA and go to Del Mar because that's one of my favorite
places. Hey, we're going there. Breeders' Cup, baby. Breeders' Cup.
Got to make sure they have Rye.
Is that. Hey, they can never have the Breeders' Cup anywhere, but either you guys have to have it in California. Remember, they can't have it up here in New York anymore, right? They won't do that anymore, Hunter?
Well, they will. It's just, you know, the Belmont facility is not necessarily perfect for a November event. So, but I'd say it'll come back just because of all the history at Belmont.
Yeah, right. Well, it's interesting because it's a fun day of racing, but if you get the bad weather up here, it's bad.
All right, Coach, thanks so much. We appreciate the time.
Keep going, Brian. I'll see you. The Rye's doing great. The racing, we're looking forward. Hunter, you're the man to lead this racing thing. I can't wait till you saddle one up in the Derby in 2 years. Well, because you're going to lead us there.
You got it, Jimmy.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, man.
Great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Go Tar Heels. You'll get the whole thing. I'll be rooting for the Gamecocks. You get the Tar Heels.
We got
it'll
it.
Be it'll a perfect little it'll match be a, in the final.
Yeah, Carolina final. All Carolina.
You got it. See you guys. Thanks. See
wow.
I mean.
Rolling here.
Is there a better guy than Jimmy
Patsos? Coach P. Unbelievable.
Little late night trip to the hot dog stand. you and Jimmy.
Yes, yes.
Down in D.C., huh?
Maybe. In Louisville, too. Hello. We've done the tour.
Twice.
Yeah. So, Derby weekend, you know.
Yeah.
Long day at the track.
Long day.
Absolutely.
Big appetites.
What a great guy.
The best.
So passionate. Unbelievable energy. Really, you know, we didn't even get a chance to talk about him because that's the type of guy he is. You know, he doesn't talk about himself.
No.
But, you know, he's had an unbelievable career and what
head
he's
coach
doing there in New York. And Coach of the Year in, what was it, 2012 from MAC. And so, I mean.
That's great.
Yeah, it's just, so, I mean.
Better guy than he is a coach.
Great guy.
The best guy in the world.
Great guy. So
no,
that's great
man.
That he made time for us. What a day. Great show.
What a day. What a day. How could it get any better than this? We got to get Liz back on.
Liz, man, master.
Liz
distiller.
Was bringing heat.
Big time. Big time. So
wow.
We'll have to get her something in the mail.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. A hat.
Something.
Maybe a plane ticket.
I don't know if that's in. We're startup. But we'll get her a hat for sure.
Yeah. I think I've got some Southwest points I could lend her.
Okay. But sounds like she's got family here. She'll be up.
Yeah, no. She's coming.
We'll extend
down to the Bay Area.
Yeah, invite to the distillery that never expires.
And same with the farm.
Yeah, great day.
Great day, Brian. What do you think? What's coming up at the distillery? So you got the opening at the 21st, right?
Yeah, lots going on. I mean, next week we actually have the American Distilling Institute here in Baltimore.
Wow,
which is huge.
Is that big?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people in the distilling industry. So,
one of those conferences where everybody wears name tags with little ads on them?
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
It's exciting.
So that'll be great. Really good for Baltimore.
Are you speaking or anything?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What are you? Can I get an invite?
You said that like, you know, there's no way you'd let him speak. Yeah,
what are you speaking
I don't know.
About?
They're probably desperate. But
what are you speaking about?
Maryland and the history of distilling we have here.
Wow.
Yeah. So people don't realize.
By the way, I took my first tour the other day.
Yeah,
I have to say publicly, thank you for all your shout outs to the farm.
Oh yeah, I mean
it's awesome.
Yeah, and so we open up April 21st, grand opening. It's going to be a spectacular weekend, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, free of charge that weekend. Say thank you to everybody, and so come on down, come check it out. I think people will be happy they did.
It's great, man. That's great. Well, it's about all the time we got. I know you got a jet, and I think we've taken enough of all the viewers' time, too.
Too much.
Way too much. Anyway, this has been Fast Horse, Slow Whiskey. Again, Brian Tracy with Sagamore Spirit. I'm Hunter Rankin, Sagamore Farm. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at Sagamore Racing and at Sagamore Spirit, and SagamoreSpirit.com and SagamoreRacing.com. Again, we appreciate all the guests, Chris McCarron, Jimmy Patsos, and Liz Kaufman.
Yeah.
And we will be back at you pretty soon.
Thanks, everybody.